Hey there, sex fans! Welcome back. Today is Monday, December 7th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
I thought I told you never to interrupt me while I'm working!
Hey, it's you who's interrupting me. Not the other way around, because I'm the host of this show, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. Well, like I said last week, we're winding up the year with our traditional Q&A format. The Erotic Mind series will return in the new year with a slew of new and interesting erotic artists and authors who will share their work and discuss their creative process. In the meantime, I'd like to remind you of the toll-free, lickety-split, sex advice podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Listen, got a question or a comment? Want to rant or rave for a bit? Or maybe you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two. I don't care. Why not just get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680.
Good evening. I have the pleasure of hearing you sing this afternoon.
That's impossible because I only sing in the shower, and no one was in the shower with me today. So back to the lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline. There's no need to be shy, my friends, when you call, because it's voicemail. No human will answer your call, least of all me. And besides, calling the hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts. Today's podcast sponsor is Eden Fantasies. If you're looking for a unique and thoughtful holiday gift, I'd like to suggest that you consider a quality pleasure product to make the season bright. If you're like me, you know loads of people who would much rather have something that will fill their lives with year-round enjoyment instead of a more traditional and thus forgettable holiday gift. And this is where Eden Fantasies come in. They go out of their way to bring you an astonishing assortment of adult products. And just in time for holiday shopping, they're having a huge sale. Save 25% on vibrators, 20% on luxury items, 15% on silicone toys, and there are even stocking stuffers for under $20.
I just wanted to tell you that I think you have a lovely voice and to say how sorry I am that I can't buy you dinner.
I would like to have some dinner. Listen, I'd like to turn your attention to one such product, the WeVibe. I've turned on dozens of friends as well as clients to this amazing toy. The unique WeVibe is a discreet vibrator crafted of phthalate-free premium silicone and designed for hands-free pleasure. It's rechargeable, so no worries about batteries running down when things are just getting interesting. It has two speeds of vibration that will arouse and delight. The WeVibe is actually worn during sex, if you can believe that. It has a compact body with ribbed textures on the inside to stimulate you as well as your partner. The WeVibe comes with a handsome black and purple hinged case and a charging plug. The WeVibe is on our top 5 list of best adult products on the market. And that, my friends, is saying something. Look for my full review of this product on my site. And to find the WeVibe on EdenFantasies.com, simply use their search function. Type in WeVibe and presto.
How long have you been a soprano?
I'm not a soprano. Listen, would you stop bothering me? And our friends at Eden Fantasies want to remind you of their 3F shipping commitment. Fast, free, and fabulous. That's right, fast and free standard shipping on any order over $59. But why the fabulous, you might ask? Well, that has to do with the Eden Fantasies shipping department, which is comprised of the hunkiest men in internet shipping. So if you want your goods handled by big, handsome, masculine, muscular brutes, Shop Eden Fantasies today. Okay, on with the show. Let's go to voicemail.
Hi, I am a new listener from Pennsylvania, and I just had two things that I wanted to say that I appreciate about your show. Number one, your frankness with terminology. Believe it or not, some of us don't know what certain parts are or what they're called, so I appreciate that in your podcast. And number two, I listened to podcast number 171, November 30th, as my first podcast from you, and you were very descriptive on how to give a proper handoff. And I appreciate that because I did try this on my husband, and quite frankly, we didn't get past number four. So I'm looking forward to more podcasts, and way to go. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you for taking the time to call in, and thank you for your kind words. Our first correspondent today is Phil, who's 46 and writes from the UK. Dear Dr. Dick, first, I must congratulate you on the two fascinating interviews you held with the delicious Tony Buff. What an incredibly sexy, compassionate, and intelligent man he is. I could have listened to him all day. Anyway, I digress. Tony spoke a lot about the importance of safe sex practices in general, as well as to do with the BDSM genre. He often engages in piss play, water sports, and I'm keen to know the risks involved in such a practice, as there seems to be a number of mixed messages out there on the subject. I've enjoyed this element of sex play myself, intermittently, for a number of years, mostly with lovers and partners. And whilst I don't consider that I have ever put myself or anyone else at risk, it would be good to know some plain, hard facts on the matter regarding the transmission of sexual infections or otherwise. Perhaps you could clarify what is considered safe and that which is risky within this practice. In other words, the do's and don'ts. Thank you for your time. You want plain, hard facts, darling? I got 'em. In fact, I forwarded your question to the man himself, Tony Buff, and here's his response. That's an excellent question, Phil. Many people don't understand the risks associated with piss play, or water sports, as it's called. According to the BDSM Safer Kink Sex booklet published by the AIDS Committee of Toronto, urine with no blood is fine on the outside of intact skin, and urine in the mouth is a negligible risk for getting HIV. But if your partner has a urinary tract infection, there is a risk of catching other sexually transmitted infections. It's also important to note that drugs can pass through the body chemically unchanged. Drinking large quantities of urine from someone who has been taking recreational drugs can pass those drugs on to your system. And if you're HIV positive, beware that drug treatment resistance can be caused by drinking the urine of someone on different treatment drugs than your own regimen. So those are the risks. Again, every person has the right to determine his or her own risk profile. With open, honest communication, you and your play partner or partners should be able to determine which risks are present and how to best mitigate them. I hope that helps. Oh, and by the way, you can find a link to the BDSM Safer Kinky Sex booklet on the sidebar of TonyBuff.com. So, there you have it. Directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And if you want to know my thoughts on the matter, which just so happens to mirror the amazing Mr. Buff's thoughts, just use my site's search function. Simply type in the words water sports or golden showers and voila! Next we hear from Alyssa, who's 26 and writes from Vancouver. I've recently begun dating a very nice, attractive guy who has a unique fetish. He is very sweet and complimentary in real life, but when we play, he likes to say dirty and very insulting and, frankly, pretty outrageous things about my mouth. I have enjoyed it when we played this way. I kind of wonder deep down if he actually likes my mouth or not. He says it's just a fetish, and he thinks it's beautiful. Can you give me some insight into this? Well, seems to me, Alyssa, if the boyfriend only does this trash talk during sex, then it is, as you suggest, his fetish. I recommend that you not try to read anything more into it than that. Don't second-guess this harmless fetish. In fact, you ought to revel in the fact that you have a man that enjoys something a little out of the ordinary. And hey, why not give dirty talk a try yourself? You can, you know. All you gotta do is get into the same mindset as your boyfriend and give him as good as you get. I can pretty much assure you that this will turn his crank big time. Next, we hear from Baux, B-A-U-X. What a great name. 18, from Colorado. He writes, I'm a young gay guy. I have been having anal sex on the bottom since I was 14 years old. There have been no more than 15 guys, though I've probably had sex around 50 or more times. Recently, within the last few months, sex has stopped feeling good. The initial burn caused by penetration won't go away. I truly do want to keep having sex. Do you have any idea why my ass is suddenly so sensitive? Wow, you're pretty precocious, my friend. And yes, I do have some idea why your ass may suddenly be so sensitive. I'd be willing to guess that you may have developed an anal fissure. An anal fissure is a tear in the lining of the anus or anal canal. The fissure can be painful and may even bleed. For more information about this, search my site using the term anal fissure. This is nothing to fool around with, pup. Have yourself checked out by a physician as soon as possible. Remember, our bodies often offer us warning signals when something isn't right. A painful burning sensation is one of those warning signals. Please attend to this right away. Take yourself to a community free clinic for screening if you don't have a general practitioner you can rely on. But do it. Do it now. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Why not write it down? 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Gary, who's 40 and writes from the United States. His question is, do penis enhancer pills work? And if so, which ones are the best? Nope, they don't work at all. I've written and spoken extensively about this topic on my site. Go to the categories section, scroll down till you find body issues. Look for the subheading cock size. There you will find all the information you need. In a nutshell, my thoughts are these. Throughout history, men have been obsessed about the size of their cocks. And when there is that kind of attention paid to something so trivial, you can be sure there's going to be an entire industry poised to bilk the shit out of the willy worrisome. Hey, where do you suppose the term snake oil originated? All of this unfortunate big dick envy creates a never-ending parade of con artists trying to sell a remedy of one sort or another to cure guys just like you of their shame. But take it from Dr. Dick, the Dick Doctor. It's all bullshit. And some of the bullshit is really scary and dangerous bullshit. For every little peanut out there, there is some kooky pill, ridiculous cream, bogus massage technique, or worthless breathing exercise that is supposed to transform one's mini-meat into the giant economy size. And let's not forget the weights that you can hang on your thang, vacuum devices to pump up that thang, and of course the 21st century's solution, cosmetic surgery, to put a happy face on your thang. The results are dubious, if there are any results at all, and each has negative side effects, some of which are more revolting than others. Here's the last word on this. Don't waste your money on any of this crap. Or better yet, send your money to me and I'll put it to good use. Here's the very best advice that I can offer a guy who is unhappy about the size of his schlong. Learn to love what you got and leave it the hell alone. Now, back to some questions we started to answer last week. As you recall, these are questions submitted to me by my friends who are writing a sex advice book. Last week, we ran out of time as we were discussing butt sex, and here is their final question on that topic. We have a quick question on the sphincter and anus. Some people argue that the anus can suffer damage and begin to leak with too much anal penetration. Is there any biological basis behind this, or is it just a myth? Sure, one can injure himself or herself with irresponsible penetrations of any orifice, but what is too much penetration anyhow? Any butt pirate, from the rank amateur to the power bottom, knows the importance of keeping their pelvic musculature in tip-top, no pun intended, shape. This is where Kegel exercises come in handy. Strong and toned PC muscles, pubococcygeus muscles that is, will allow you to enjoy ass-fucking for a lifetime without the heartbreak of springing a leak. Next, they would like to discuss sex guilt. Their first question reads, as a former Catholic priest, you sure have dealt with your fair share of sex guilt, either in yourself, your patrons, or your current sex therapy clients. Yep, all three, and in the confessional, too. What are some reasons behind sex guilt? Well, to my mind, there is very little sex-related guilt without the accompanying shame. In my opinion, the shame comes first. Someone or some institution instills a sense of shame for a behavior. The individual experiences guilt when he or she engages in this shameful behavior. It could be masturbation, or eating pork, or appearing in public without a headscarf. How does sex guilt manifest itself? Well, in many ways. It's such a personal experience. For most people, guilt reinforces and internalizes the shame that was engendered by someone or some institution outside of themselves. A common response to sex guilt is hiding, suppressing, avoiding the experience, or just pretending it didn't happen. Others punish themselves, which can actually engender self-hatred. However, the most pernicious form of sex guilt actually reinforces the behavior. Here's how that works. I do something I'm ashamed of. I feel a deep sense of guilt. I punish myself for the transgression. This, in turn, makes the behavior all the more seductive and attractive to me, which makes me do the behavior all over again, so that I can punish myself again. You see how this becomes a vicious cycle. How can one overcome their guilt about sex acts? One starts by unraveling the system that instilled the shame in the first place. One goes back to the source of the shame. The church, parents, etc., try to understand the reason why the shaming was done, let's say to protect the sanctity of the body, as a means of controlling human urges, etc. Then one demythologizes the shaming. Without the shame, there is little or no guilt. Have you ever heard these statements, and how would you respond to someone who is dealing with these specific issues? Number one, a woman who goes down on a guy is a whore. Oh, that's a real popular one. I would help that individual see that this kind of statement is made by people who don't believe that women should enjoy sex. They believe they shouldn't be active participants in sex, or that sex is for procreation, not pleasure. These people only believe that there is one way to have sex, particularly for women. They should be passive receptacles and nothing more. If you demythologize this way of thinking, you get over it right away. Number two, men who go down on women are unmanly. Again, this is a very popular one. I would help the individual see that this kind of statement is made by people who are trapped in a perverse sex role stereotype. I mean, who gets to determine what is manly and what isn't? The one who makes the determination wins the debate. Each individual gets to decide what is manly or womanly, and there is no artificial norm, period. Next question. Anal sex between straight people is wrong, dirty, or gay? I would help the individual try to take apart that statement. Wrong? Does that mean there is a right way? Who gets to determine that? Dirty? Are some parts of the body more wholesome than others? Whose prejudices are at work here? And gay, why must we demonize this particular class of people? Where do the phobic reactions to same-sex behaviors come from? Are they legitimately things to be feared, or are they culturally induced? If they are culturally induced, why are they culturally induced? And that gets us back to your very first question, which has to do with sex-related guilt. There is no guilt without the accompanying shame, and in my opinion, the shame comes first. Someone or some institution instills a sense of shame for a behavior, and the individual experiences guilt when he or she engages in that behavior. The next question, the lady whore complex that straight men entertain, where does that come from? Well, someone set up this dichotomy before the particular straight man bought into it. And who set it up? That's a good question. And why did they set it up? At whose expense? Obviously the woman's. But why do we have to fear anyone's sexuality? And finally, pornography is evil, degrading, terrifying, and wrong. Again, my response would be, why evil? And who gets to decide that? What was evil 100 years ago or in a different culture may not necessarily be considered evil today or in another culture. This suggests to me that evil is not a universal, but, again, culturally determined. Again, who gets to say that? And whose prejudices are at work here? Degrading? Well, could be. But if it is consensual, can it be degrading? What other things degrade people, do you suppose? And why are we not as concerned about those things as we are about porn? Terrifying? Listen, I think comb-overs are terrifying. Wrong? Well, see all the comments I've made above. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is the toll-free podcast voicemail hotline telephone number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. The next set of questions has to do with sex toys. Have you ever suggested to your clients that they use sex toys for men, either for solo play or during heterosexual partnered play? Absolutely, and yes, to both solo play and for play with a partner. Sometimes it's difficult getting straight men to warm up to the idea of incorporating toys for themselves in partnered play. They can also be resistant to toys for solo play. Some straight men think toys are gay or only for women. Some haven't a large enough sexual repertoire to even imagine how toys could assist them or be fun. So generally, I have my work cut out for me in this regard. What are some of the benefits of using sex toys for men? Why, they increase one's sexual repertoire to begin with. They increase body awareness. Take prostate massage, for example. It's fun. It's also healthful. And it's enriching. The guy becomes less cock-centric and less ass-phobic. And another toy I often recommend is a cock ring. This is a low-tech aid for keeping it up and keeping it hard. What are some of your favorite sex toys for men and why? Among my favorites are the Fleshlight and Fleshjack. Guys can actually learn how to last longer using one of these. And you know how I keep talking about the mutual joys and the important information shared when a couple masturbates together, right? Well, this is the ideal masturbation toy for him. The Aneros products are designed and developed by folks who are as serious about prostate health as they are about prostate pleasure. Listen, I'm all in favor of toys that have no other purpose other than to dispense a good dose of the jollies. But if a fella can pleasure himself and do himself some good health-wise all at the same time, well, that just beats the pants off a diddlin' just for fun. Then there's the Rude Boy. There's nothing girly about this toy. It's manly looking from the soft black medical grade silicon shaft with the upward curve to the classy chrome tip. It's as handsome as it is functional. Why, you could leave this son of a bitch lying around in the garage workshop and no one would be the wiser. It looks like the kind of thing you use to change out the spark plugs. The thing also sings. Or, should I say, vibrates. Lilo calls their bow a gentleman's pleasure object. I call it a vibrating cock ring. A cock ring is a simple device worn around the base of your dick to help you maintain an erection. And all you rocket scientists know that your erection is caused by blood flow, right? Since blood flows into your Johnson through arteries deep inside your dick, and blood flows out of your dick through veins nearer the surface of your tool, wearing a cock ring can help keep more blood inside your dick shaft for a longer period of time. What's the correlation with sticking a massager up your butt and prostate health? What good does this do? Why is massaging any part of your body beneficial? It increases blood flow, relaxes, stimulates, reduces stress. And in the case of prostate massage, it reduces the discomfort associated with prostatitis. Massage also aids in the healthy functioning of one's prostate and associated glands. In the same way, general massage assists in other parts of one's body, like with range of motion and overall limberness. You've probably heard the T-shirt study that showed women have an attraction to men based on scent, pheromones, and immune system variants. However, I'm wondering if you can think of any studies where men were shown to be attracted to women on a similar basis. I've read in a couple of spots that men may not be influenced by pheromones DNA variants because their goal is to spread their seed far and wide and hope for a good crop, whereas women need to be more selective since they will be carrying and ultimately caring for an offspring. This is all biologically speaking, of course. I'm not sure if I buy that. Do you? Well, I can't really point to any studies that show pheromones play an equally important part in male-to-female attraction and bonding. It is a very interesting question, though. There's got to be some studies done on the effect of a woman's perfume on men, wouldn't you think? I mean, imagine if there was no connection at all. The multi-billion-dollar perfume industry would be a joke. I think that male pack animals are, for the most part, only interested in the scent of estrus. Since only dominant males get to breed, they don't concern themselves with individual females except in as much as they are part of their harem. Males who pair bond for life may have other interests, but in that situation, it is generally the female who does the choosing of the mate and not the male. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. We're going to save the balance of those interesting questions for next week, which will be my last podcast before our holiday break. So tune in then for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Eden Fantasies.
I'm going to see if my clothes are dry, and I'm going to try to sneak back into my hotel.
Yeah, no leaving here without your clothes on, honey. That's for damn sure. So listen up, you guys. Eden Fantasies provides you with a unique opportunity to both shop and educate yourself about the amazing array of adult products out there. Of course, they uphold a high standard of quality in the toys they carry, but they are even more focused on customer service and consumer education, which, to my mind, makes Eden Fantasies the very best place to shop on the net. And remember, place your holiday orders by December 16th to be sure to get ground delivery by Christmas. I also want to turn your attention to Eden Fantasy's brilliant new e-magazine, Sex Is. You'll find tantalizing articles and informed opinions on sex, society, health, erotica, and humor. You'll even find ways to green your sex life. And just in case you don't get a big enough dose of Dr. Dick here on DrDickSexAdvice.com, you'll find that I have a weekly column at Sex Is, too. It's called Dr. Dick on Demand. Look for the Sexes banner in the sidebar of my site. One final thing. I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right. Sex fans, now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is DrDickSexToyReviews.com.
You were willing to compromise your virtue for a meatball.
Yeah, but that was last week. And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously. Once there, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, and don't forget to subscribe. I wouldn't want you to miss even one episode. And hey, feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.